Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook, or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and I want to introduce you to my new friend, Gemma. Gemma, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello. Well, I love the fact that you've introduced me as your new friend. I mean, I'm very happy about that, first of all. So I am Gemma Lee Edelman, and I'm a life and business consultant that works through social coaching and mentorship as a way to walk alongside people that are looking to create lives and businesses that reflect who they actually are, as opposed to what we all think they should be.
Oh, that's great. As a person that's been in business now for 6 years, having alignment in business is key. A lot of people start businesses and it's just like, I don't know, I'm going to do all the things out of alignment. And then 6 to 8 months later, wonder why they're so miserable in the business. So I love that's what you do. So how would you describe survival mode?
Do you know what? I've been thinking about this question since you asked it to me. And I think it means different things to different people. I think obviously, you know, depending on what we've lived through, the different traumas, the different cultural experiences, the different backgrounds that we have, going into survival mode can mean something so vastly different from one person to another. So for me, I think if I talk about my own survival mode, it was my mind, body, and soul going into automatic pilot, or kind of, and there not being this alignment that you just talked about, there not being this moment of pause to ask myself what I needed, what I wanted, with whether what I was going to be doing was the right thing, it was the best thing. And so you just kind of get on the train and the train leads you forward and there you go. And you're just constantly fighting fires because nobody's told you that you're allowed to do things otherwise.
Yeah, I agree with that definition, and it's interesting because you are right. People end up in survival mode for different reasons, and it looks different from most people. But when I ask this question, most people say autopilot.
Yeah,
So
it's
I think
interesting,
it's
isn't it?
just that state of being, but not actually in control, I think
Yeah, it's
is.
interesting because I'm based in Spain, and in Spanish there are two definite or two translations of the word to be. There's ser and there's estar. And ser is this intrinsic feeling, being, knowing. It's kind of the inner being. And estar is the outward expression of that. So the way that we react to things, people quite often say it's a temporary or a permanent, definition. And I don't agree with that. And I was a teacher for a very long time, and I always used to poo-poo that idea and was like, it's not a time thing, it's more of a state. And I think for me, that gives us another way into looking at survival mode about this, this automatic pilot. When we're in the ser mode, when we're in the actual feeling, the connection with ourselves, with who we truly are, the idea of alignment again, of our values, of the things that we truly want and we truly need, that's the ser. That's when we're not in survival mode. When we're in estar, when we're in this outward expression, when we're reacting to something, it's more of a consequence of something in the outside arena of life. I think that quite often that's a way to think of survival mode as well.
I love how you broke that down with the two definitions. So, yes. So, why don't you tell us your story to and through survival mode?
Okay. I can imagine that most people that come on this show and talk to you, when you ask this question, they think of one particular moment that was the starting point of everything else that happened that led us into survival mode. And I can think of one, and it was about 7 years ago, and I got very sick. And it looked like it had just come on all of a sudden out of nowhere. There I was, I'd been healthy and happy before. And then I got very sick and my body started to shut down. Now, with the wisdom of hindsight, obviously, I look backwards now and I see that actually that was just the consequence of having been in survival mode for a very, very long time. And the type of coaching that I do is based on humanist psychology. So we love to go all the way back to the very beginning and look through everything. And so when I look at things, with that lens, from that stance, I can see that obviously there were a lot of things in my childhood that happened. I was surrounded by a lot of love. But there were all also situations that were very complex and very complicated. And being so young and living through things like that meant that I learned adaptive behaviors of being accepted in the world. And I learned that I needed to be a people pleaser and I needed to say yes to everything. And I needed to be a very, very good girl in order for everybody to love me and accept me. And I filled that role very well for a very long time. Until when I was early 30s, my body literally stopped me in my tracks. And for 3 years, I was in and out of hospital every month, every 2 months. I had something that's called transverse myelitis, so an inflammation of the spinal cord. And my legs decided that they didn't really want to work anymore as well as they did. So I lost a lot of sensation and I lost a lot of strength. I had a very young son at the time. It was very difficult not being the type of mum that I wanted to be when he was so young. And this forced pause, it sounds really corny, and I'm almost hesitant to say that it was the greatest gift that I've ever been given, but it really was, no matter how corny it sounds. Those 3 years where I was struggling to walk, and I was struggling sometimes to breathe, and I was struggling to do simple things like shower myself and look after my son and keep my family safe and happy and warm. The upside of all of that was that I had time. I had all this time to go back and to think and to review and to deep dive into who I was. Who was I almost pretending to be? Which parts of that were working for me and which weren't? Before this, I had a very successful career. I had my own academy out here. We had an amazing social life. I was involved in local politics and we were busy, busy, busy. So that list that we all have, I was ticking every single one of the boxes. And from the outside, it looked like my life was absolutely perfect and thriving. But in this year or these years of pause where, almost I allowed myself, I was forced to, but now I look at it with a different lens. I actually gave myself the permission to ask myself some very difficult and uncomfortable questions. And when I did, when I changed from being the teacher to the student, I went back and did my master's in social coaching. I saw all of these things that I just hadn't wanted to see in the past, of how I'd been surviving, how certain traumas had led me to react and behave in certain ways, and had led me to create this perfect life on the outside where everything seemed so shiny and wonderful, but actually inside wasn't really fulfilling me in the way that I wanted it to. So it took a lot of hard work and, a lot of sweat and tears and emotional looking at myself in the mirror moments to actually strip back a lot of the things that I'd been using as a way to survive, as a way to cope. And I very slowly learned how to do things differently and learned how to love and accept my body differently. To give my body the things that it needed. I am very well now, but I have a very special body that needs a certain amount of love and care if I'm going to carry on doing the things that I want to. And I'm also lucky because when I went back and did my master's and I started studying again, I realized that actually this was what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I wanted to walk alongside other people that were feeling a little bit lost or confused or, in pieces with trauma, with relationships, with their families, and walk alongside them whilst they figured out a way to come back to themselves as well.
I love all that you said. I think it's very interesting, particularly in this space. Like, we hear that phrase that hindsight is 20/20. And oftentimes, even from my own experience, it's that look back, that opportunity to challenge or ask questions, right? That we actually start to see how things piece together. And then create the picture that we knew. I think it was my reflection that made me realize that I had been operating from trauma responses for many, many years. And I remember prior to that reflection, I would have just chalked it up to this is my personality, this is who I am, but in reflecting and then recognizing being able to draw back to the origins of certain actions and behaviors, I recognize, wow, a lot of my life was operating from trauma responses. And I had no awareness of that, right? Like people pleasing is a trauma response, and most people aren't even aware of that. They just think this is part of my personality.
Aren't
I'm so nice. I just care for everyone, you know, but really it's we were taught in some way that we had to please someone, otherwise there would be a consequence to that. So we shifted the way that we show up, and then it became a norm, it became a habit, it became an identity. And I often think, you know, when I talk about accident survival mode, I often say there are three phases. The first is self-awareness, the second is reprogramming, and the third is a reinvention. And most people that come on this show, they speak about that in their own way, but you spoke about it like this awareness that, you know, these traumas are showing up, they're still kind of showing up in my space. The awareness that your body was like, I need to pause, right? Like, and it looked different. It might have looked different than it looks for other people, but we do, our body does get to a point where it will stop us.
Absolutely.
I
Absolutely.
experienced that where I literally couldn't get out of bed for months. I wasn't depressed, you know what I mean? But I didn't have any energy. And when I look back on that, I recognize that was my body just like, I'm done. Like you gotta figure this out another way. And until then, I'm on strike.
And that is the perfect way to describe it. I mean, to be honest, this was why I ended up choosing social coaching, because I've always loved psychology and I love human psychology because it offers us, I quite often, you know, offer the image of a triangle because it gives us this three-way model to look at life and everything and who we are as beings. And traditional psychology obviously started with all of the cognitive behavior, and that's amazing. And it was an amazing, you know, discovery, and there are such incredible people that paved the way to our understanding about the way that our brains work and how, you know, you said programming and reprogramming and how we can play around with all of that. Then as time moved forward, you know, we had people like Daniel Coleman with emotional intelligence, and it was all of a sudden this world of emotions and what that was bringing to the table, and how we can access it and how we can regulate it, and how it, you know, their messages, it's our body's way of speaking to us as well. But humanist psychology and social coaching, for me, the thing that it brought as an extra thing to the table is the idea of the body as well, and how our somatic experiences and how our bodies are speaking to us all of the time, and things are happening inside our bodies all of the time that are representing the trauma and the emotion and the experience and everything that we've been through. And so, for example, if somebody comes to me and their trauma is so great that talking about something is still just too difficult, social coaching gives us this other way in. So we've always got kind of three doors. We can either come in cognitively, we can come in through the emotions, or we can come in through the body, or we can use all three. But not everybody is in a place where just talk therapy is going to help them move forward to the place that they want and they need to be.
Absolutely. And I think the issue with talk therapy often is we have the cognitive and the emotional ways out, but oftentimes the providers aren't trauma informed. And to me, that creates a bigger issue. Yes, you are trying to help, but if you can't help me navigate my trauma, I'm kind of just treading water because, you know, a lot of people probably don't recognize that our body is like a huge flash drive
Yeah,
and
it is.
it stores everything. We may think we have passed this traumatic event, it is stored in our bodies. Trauma, we've learned now, can change our DNA. And if
Absolutely.
we are doing things that aren't seeking healing, that doesn't really reinforce the, or not reinforce, if we are seeking healing that doesn't speak to the trauma, that is stored in our bodies. I think it ends up being a muted point, which is why people say, you know, I've been in therapy for decades and I still don't have any solutions here. There are other ways around dealing with your traumas. And like you said, not everybody's ready to talk about it. And if we think that talk therapy is the only way out, the only solution, we're not going to move ourselves forward and we're not going to heal. And I think that's it's a catch-22 when you don't have the proper tools to navigate what's keeping you stuck anyway.
I think obviously, as you can tell, I love to talk. I love talk therapy. I think it's wonderful. But I think that for a lot of people, it's never just about one thing. It's never about, you know, finding one magical. I mean, I wish it works that way. I say this to, you know, the people that I work with quite often, that I wish I had a magic wand. And with this magic wand, we could magically make everything go away. We could magically make all of this trauma go away and all of these, you know, kind of issues that you're coming with, that in one session or in 10 sessions, they would completely disappear and you would never have to deal with them again. In reality, how I see my job isn't to do that, but to give people the tools so that we can turn down the intensity. So that when that trauma shows up again, because, you know, I've done, and same with you, I've done a hell of a lot of work and I will forever. One, because I love it, and two, because I think it's always an ongoing process. There are still things that come up for me from time to time. The difference is that I now have the tools to face them so that whatever it is that's been triggered, whatever trauma it is that is showing its shiny little head again, I then don't get so overwhelmed, go into panic mode, go into the overwhelm, and I get to choose how I want to move forward and how I want to deal with it. And for me, the power comes in that moment of choice, that realizing that we always get to choose, that we have the power to choose. And so when we can find our people, our tribes, our tools that empower us for those moments that will inevitably come up, because that is the wonderful thing about life. It's not linear. We're on a roller coaster, and sometimes we're at the top and it's amazing. And sometimes we have to go down in order to feel the other side of things. But it's about finding our own personal way to navigate and to surf the different directions and the different things that come up for us.
I agree with you, and the audience would have definitely heard me say that I think a huge part of that navigation is acceptance, right? And I think oftentimes people don't accept that life is a duality, right? And like they expect that things will be peachy keen all the time. They expect that life will just be easy flowing.
Amazing.
But with light comes darkness, with rain comes sunshine, with everything else comes the opposite. And when we learn to accept that and navigate that with as part of our reality, instead of painting the world in this rose-colored utopia, I think it makes life a little easier. But you said this. I think trauma is very much like grief. We don't put it down completely. It changes its impact by how we are able to pick up tools, how we are able to get to a place of acceptance, how we are able to take radical ownership and understand the power of our choice. And like I've said this, I've talked about this before. I remember someone telling me that my emotions were a choice. And in that moment,
Sorry.
in that heated moment, I was like, "Have you lost your mind? I'm not choosing this." However, as I learned, go ahead out, please. Okay, go ahead out for now. Thanks. I'll see. Sorry about that.
It's okay. Because we are also mums, which means these things happen. Our
Yes.
children come in and we might be professional and we might be doing things, but it doesn't mean that real life stops. Real life carries on. And sometimes that
Carries
means
on.
people come in and interrupt us. So that is not a problem.
Yes. So of course I lost my train of thought.
So you were saying that, people's expectations of life and what it means, and, people, somebody having said to you in the past that you get to choose your emotions, and you're like, no, thank you. That I'm not choosing this. This is happening to me.
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest gifts in my healing journey was understanding the direct connection between emotions, feelings, thoughts, and action. And once I realized that, that's when I recognized how much control I actually had. That's when I recognized that the emotions were a choice, right? And I spent so much time after that checking my thoughts. And in a very weird way, like I would have outward conversations with myself. No, we're not going there today. Because I had to be really bold with myself. Our thoughts are recycled. 95% of our thoughts are thoughts that we had yesterday. And if we don't change,
And our thoughts create reality. That's what we
absolutely.
don't remember. That's what we don't, attribute the power of our thoughts, because what we're thinking becomes something. It becomes that emotion. It becomes that thing that you're saying to yourself.
Absolutely. And I think that for me, that was the biggest aha moment in my journey. Like really just understanding that, because now I do have control. Because when I say it's a great day,
It's because it
even if in reality it isn't,
is.
I am choosing to make it that, and knowing that I have the power to do so.
Yeah, by flipping the script. Somebody once gave me an amazing definition of the word joy. And it had nothing to do with jumping around, being, happy and like, oh my God, I'm just love my life. It's so amazing. It was the absence of judgment. True joy is that space where there is the absence of judgment, where our brain is not just going 10 to a dozen, where our brain isn't, it hasn't got all of these limiting beliefs in there telling us what we should be doing, we should be thinking, and we're good enough and we're not good enough. That is the true definition of joy, and it always stuck with me.
That is powerful. That is powerful because I think, particularly when we've experienced trauma, particularly when we've journeyed through survival mode, especially for an extended period of time, judgment is what we lead with oftentimes, and not intentionally. I think it's a subconscious decision that we judge our circumstances, we judge ourselves, we judge our reactions. And oftentimes we don't even give ourselves enough grace in processing why those emotions were present in the first place. We tend to judge the emotion too. And when we can get to a place of no judgment and just process the emotions, really get to the core of why they are there, what could have triggered that emotion for me, I think it's this level of freedom.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, I think that's what I was trying to say earlier when I was talking about that's where our power lies. And when we find our own power, when we realize that we get to choose, that does give us freedom. Because it's the freedom to choose, the freedom to create the life that we want to, the life that we deserve, the life that we feel is ours, not this image that's been sold to us through the media, through family, through culture, through, generation. It doesn't matter. It's a liberation of all of the things, of the weight and the pressure of the shoulds and the have tos. And, this lightness of saying, no, now I know who I am and I know what I want. And I'm going to allow myself, I'm going to give myself the permission to start moving forward in a way that is actually going to be in line with that, so that I feel true joy and I feel true happiness. And I agree with you, it's not about everything being perfect all the time. It's about feeling that my life, my body, my actions, and my emotions represent who I truly am.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing is oftentimes we get to a place where we have fallen, I would say, fallen victim to expectation, right? When you really think of it, like let's just talk about women, mothers, for instance. Mothers are expected to manage the household, manage the children, and if she has a job, she's expected to manage that, right? When we go to school, for instance, we are expected to do really good so that we can get a really good job. We have these, I would say, conveyor belts of success that society, culture, family all dictate to us. And we get on these conveyor belts, and we may have to hop from one to the other throughout life. A lot of us don't question that. They don't question, we don't question it at all. I was raised to believe that I had to do really well in school so that I can get a really good job, so I can take care of the children that I had. So eventually I get to a place where I have enough money and then I can relax. And
Yeah. 60 years down the line. Don't
in
relax
60
until
years,
then.
yeah, and life doesn't begin until retirement, right? So like, you basically have to give away yourselves, ourselves, for many years until we can reap these rewards. And I know in what really helped me as I was exiting my survival mode was really questioning all of these expectations and saying, how does this fit into what I want to do, what I believe my purpose is? How does this fit into the life that I want to create for myself? And then also giving myself permission to put down those expectations, to pack them away because they no longer serve me, and start creating a life that lights me up. And it may light me up and make you incredibly dull, but this is who I am, and being able to accept that, understanding that there's no one size fits all for happiness and contentment and fulfillment in life. And I think it takes such a long time for us to get to that place. And I most people get it to it late 30s, early 40s, mid 50s sometimes. And I just feel like we waste so many years being victim to these expectations that end up putting us in survival mode often because, we're doing all these things that are misaligned, that don't necessarily vibe well with our goals and our core values and the things that we have dreamt of for our lives.
One of the reasons that I love values work so much. So, I work in lots of different ways with lots of different people, but there's always kind of three pillars that come through in everything. One is self-love and, not necessarily bubble baths and face masks, which, yes, of course, I love, but that's not what I mean by self-love. Self-love, the idea of connection, connecting with ourselves to then be able to connect with the world from a different space. And the third thing is values, using our values as our own personal compass. And when we know what our, I have an exercise that I do with a lot of people in the first couple of sessions when we start working together, whether it be business-wise or, on a personal level. And we go through this kind of mini workshop where we come out the other side with our five core values. And again, we can do this. People can do this at home. You can do it with your relationship. You can do it with your family. You can do it on a personal level. You can do it with your business, with work. It's applicable to any area of our lives. But when we take the time to figure out, okay, what are my five words? What are my five core values? Who am I? What are the, or, and even if I'm not there yet, what do I want my words to be? What are these values that I'm going to use as the foundation to create the life or the business that is really going to reflect who I am? And spending some time thinking, meditating, writing in whatever way, resonates with you as a person. And then writing down your own definition of that word. So coming back to what you were saying, not the definition in the Oxford English Dictionary, but what is Leticia's version of, for example, family? What does that mean to you? And once we become really clear about that, it's then easier to start to see where I'm doing things that are in alignment with that, where I'm not. Where is the place that maybe I want to, put a little bit more energy so I can feel that that's shining through in my life or in my business? And it gives us almost this map of how to walk through life and how to start making changes that are actually going to, reflect my needs and my wants and my true desires, as opposed to this idea of expectations that you were talking about.
I do similar work with my clients, and it's then taking that aligned action, right? Like once you are able to identify, it's focusing on staying aligned, more than anything. I really enjoyed this conversation, Gemma.
Is that it? Are we done? Because that has
We are
flown by.
wrapping up. So tell us how we can find you online and tell us a little bit more about the work that you do.
So this is always the question that I'm asked at the end of all interviews, and I always give the same answer. I am everywhere and you can find me anywhere. If you put Gemma Lee Edelman into any search engine, you will see me in a myriad of places. Obviously, I'm on all of the platforms, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. I also have my own website. Where you can find out a little bit more about what I do. I think the easiest way to describe it is what I said in the beginning. I walk alongside people that are looking for more clarity and connection, that are feeling stuck. And I do that in different ways, one-to-one sessions, online and face-to-face workshops. And I also run retreats.
I
So,
love that. I love a little retreat. I love that. So before we wrap it all up, one key takeaway for the audience to action.
I mean, because I'm obviously a values girl, that would be the takeaway that I would offer people. Go make a cup of tea, go make a coffee, go get some water, sit down somewhere and gift yourself 15 minutes to choose your words. And if you have time, write down what each one means to you. And then think about how much of that is actually shining through at the minute or not. And that will then pave the way for how to move forward.
I love that. Gemma said, thank you so much for your time on Survival Made Disrupted and audience. Thanks for catching another episode. Look, take 5 minutes and get clear with yourself. This will help you with all of the actions you take moving forward. That clarity changes lives. So thank you again for catching this episode. And I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracks something open on purpose. Because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken, you're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it, don't numb it, move with it. And I want to once again, invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, the Survival Mode Exit Plan because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.